Now, did you hear Airplay on RN last week? The extraordinary drama in which an ABC reporter covered the Trojan Wars a few thousand years ago. Here's a sample.
Tony, it could be that never before in history has there been such total annihilation of a people. Those who've already been allocated to the conquerors are down at the port waiting to be transported to Athens. Those in the square are living off any scraps they can lay their hands on. They're forced to relieve themselves wherever they can. This is total debasement. I've heard the most shocking stories of women of all ages being raped and abused. Children too.
Do you feel under threat?
I'm okay. Underneath my disguise, I've got my ABC press pass and my flak jacket. None of the women in the square have that luxury.
And that's when the line cut out. It's always happening with phones, especially over 3,000 years. Rape as a weapon of war. It has a vile history. And it's the subject of this week's PhD student, Amrita Kapoor, from the University of New South Wales, where she also lectures in criminal law.
Women can be raped at any moment during the day and anywhere, in the fields, at home, on the road, at the water well. It destroys us in our body and soul. We don't know how to resort to justice. These are the words of a rape victim in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Her story, sadly, mirrors the experiences of thousands of women and girls around the world in conflict countries where rape is used as a weapon of war. This means that those in command sanction the rape of women to terrorize the population and weaken the enemy's resistance. Why? Because rape is cheaper than bullets, and because, frankly, they think they will never be punished for it. Mostly, they're right, because even when there are prosecutions, sexual violence is neglected, under-investigated, under-prosecuted, and rarely convicted. My research explores how we can persuade post-conflict governments to prosecute sexual violence using the International Criminal Court. While the court's aim is to end impunity for international crimes such as genocide, war crimes, and crimes against humanity, it can only prosecute and punish the very few people at the top and only when a country is unable or unwilling to prosecute. Instead, its real potential lies in catalysing local prosecutions, which can bring more people to justice. Without justice, the perpetrators will not stop. First, I define unwilling in practical terms to create minimum standards that will promote better domestic prosecutions. Because unwilling countries want to avoid triggering International Criminal Court intervention, they will improve their criminal justice systems to meet these standards. Second, I will identify the barriers to prosecuting sexual violence crimes by interviewing women who are victims of sexual violence, NGO staff, police and prosecutors in four countries engaged with the International Criminal Court: Colombia, Uganda, Guinea and the Congo. Once identified, the International Criminal Court can consider these barriers when assessing unwillingness and therefore improve how it leverages its relationships with national governments to catalyse prosecutions of sexual violence crimes in local courts. For the victims of these crimes, this means they will start to see and access justice where it matters most, at home. From my work in Mozambique and Tanzania, access to justice for women can deliver more than accountability to perpetrators. It can also reinforce the rule of law, challenge the culture of impunity, restore dignity, and shape individual relations even at the local level. Post-conflict justice is critical for women, because research, including mine, shows that protecting women's rights allows them to contribute more freely to their country's future in social, economic, and political ways. Research also shows that women's empowerment after conflict is essential for long-term economic growth and development, which in turn reduces the risk of relapsing into conflict. Justice for sexual violence is just one mechanism to protect women's rights, but it is important. Accountability matters to victims, but in the case of women, it also improves the chance that post-conflict societies can foster economic development and transition to enduring peace.
Amrita Kapoor doing her PhD at the University of New South Wales on the legal and psychological aspects of rape, something that's been rampant for millennia.
The spoils of war. Everyone allocated individually. A woman for each man. You know the score.
Separate them. We'll be quick about it.
This the way, Ella.
Come on, bitch, you know you want it.
Line them up over here. Move.
I'm not sure what's going on here, but the women are being lined up like animals for slaughter. Maybe we're all going to die.
The wheel of fortune.
This is what we go to war for, boys.
Oh, I want that one. I'm a big five.
Yeah, she's mine.
Number five. Lucky number five.
This is brazen barbarity. The poor victim has been slung over the winner's shoulders and is being carted off like a carcass in an abattoir. The others are cheering and salivating as they line up for the next ballot.
From Airplay on RN last Sunday, an ABC reporter covering the Trojan Wars and the lottery of rape. Science fiction? Sort of. Meanwhile, in America in 2012, little men with big guns are winning the war against children. If they get more guns, they'll win the war faster. 1, 2, 3.